ATL Echo presents A Dash of Luck by Beanclip. January 9th, 1980. Dearest Severus, I'm sorry. I know that's no way to start a letter. Not after everything I've put you through. After everything that's happened. After so many years. But, well, you know how I get about all that stuffy formality stuff. I'm truly very sorry. I should have told you I forgave you long ago. Unfortunately, an apology is not why I'm writing. I'm pregnant. Yes, I know what you're thinking. After all our childhood promises, I missed out on avoiding teenage pregnancy by just a hair. 9-year-old me would have been so disappointed, and 9-year-old you would have had that adorable, disgusted scowl on his face. Anyways, it turns out that there's this insane prophecy, and Dumbledore thinks it's about a baby. My baby. Yeah, I can hear your voice in my head screaming how bloody stupid you'd have to be to trust a bloody prophecy. But, well, apparently, both Dumbledore and you-know-fucking-who are exactly the kinds of morons you taught me to see through at the age of 9. But unfortunately, that isn't the reason I'm writing either. Not really. Dumbledore is convinced that the bloody Dark Lord is after my child, and has convinced my husband and his friends of the idea as well. Frankly, I don't care much about the politics of who believes what or why, but I care quite a bit about the two most powerful wizards Europe has seen in decades, if not the past century, who seem far too fucking eager to throw my baby into this war before he's even been born. I suspect you know where I'm going with this now. My husband's family has seemingly always had far more wealth than sense, and I find I have quite a bit fewer qualms these days without blowing his money on things he doesn't need or want to know about. Ugh, I'll just spit it out. I need a cauldron of Felix Felicis, an entire one, ready for my son's birthday in 7 months. Depending how things go after that, I'd like to hire your services for another cauldron on each of my child's birthdays, either until it's no longer needed, my husband's gold is all spent, or my untimely demise prevents such a transaction occurring. Which seems more and more likely with every passing day. No, Sev, it isn't a capital F feeling, not yet at least, but I'll try to keep you updated. I can provide the required ingredients, equipment, and brewing space. Or, if you would prefer to procure them yourself, your time will be well compensated, both for this step and for your research and brewing time along the way. I know you've never brewed it before, and I know there's very little time for working around translation or recipe errors. I wouldn't trust any other brewer with this, Sev. Not even myself. So please, name your price, name your conditions, whatever you wish. All I ask is that you help me make my child safe. Anything else, and if it's within my power, it will be yours. I suspect you have an idea of what other steps I'm taking to secure my child's safety. Far better of an idea than anyone else around here does. I know it's been too long. I know we're no longer friends. But you've always been so brilliant, Sev. I'm sure there's so much about what I'm planning that you'd have so much to critique. I really miss you. Well, I guess I should end this letter soon. Heaven knows all your sketchy illegal book dealers are owed letters from me. And who knows who else? Please answer. Even if it's a no. Even if you don't forgive me. Can't ever forgive me. I need to know. My child needs to know. If you do refuse, the list of masters I'll be asking goes Vittorio in Italy, Bellin in Spain, and then Gonzalez in Argentina. I know, Vittorio can barely refrain from blowing himself up half the time, Bellin is an idiot who can barely follow a recipe correctly, and Gonzalez can barely read. I need you, Sev. I'm begging. Please, please help me save my baby. Whatever it takes. Okay, that's all for now, I suppose. Till the moon rises in the east, shining red like the sun. Lily.
L. I accept. MCK-320. Do not be late. Maxim.
February 1st, 1980. My dear Max, thank you so much for meeting with me. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I'm so, so sorry. I'd forgotten how good Mama Cassie's kitchen was. Either my son has a bit more Cokeworth in him than is healthy for anyone, or all this stress is making me really crave food from home. Either way, once again, thank you. The lab space we discussed is ready. Would you prefer a portkey? A letter with apparition coordinates? The nearest muggle address so you can sniff it out with whatever voodoo you do? Let me know. I know we left it open, but just in case, I left copies of all my notes there as well. If you have the time, I'd love to know what you think. Okay, I think that's all for now. Oh, actually, I found a dozen gold cauldrons in Flea's old things. No idea what he would have used them for, or why he bought them, but they were there. They were in such good condition, I don't think they were bought for any older potters. Anyways, I left all his equipment and journals in the lab for you as well. Heaven knows my husband wouldn't notice, even if you kept them, and I still think you're selling your time far too cheap. This is no simple vial of pepper-up. Right. That's actually all now. Till the moon rises in the east, shining red like the sun. L.
LMP 2120.
March 16th, 1980. Dearest Maximus, all this cloak and dagger feels rather ridiculous, don't you think? I know there's a war on, but we're just a couple of poor kids from a crappy town most of Britain would rather pretend didn't exist. No pure blood, no fancy names, no inherited wealth. If it wasn't for that ridiculous prophecy business, I'd say the war hardly affects either of us at all. But, well, anyways. You'll be happy to know that the Potter Vaults are enthusiastically funding your groundbreaking research into recipe adjustments and alternative uses of the Felix Felicis potion. Yes, that is a direct quote from the goblin who manages my husband's accounts. He thought it remarkably fitting of the legacy and priorities of my husband's late father, who the goblin adored, apparently. For all that the research is quite far a departure from what he expected to come from either my husband or whoever my husband would choose to wed. In all, he has been quite amenable to all your suggestions. Enclosed is a first draft at an agreement between the Potter Estate and yourself regarding any patents, sales, or publications resulting from said research. As above, the goblin was quite enthusiastic at the proposal, but I meant what I said. Anything at all, Severus. Ask, and it will be yours. Only help me protect the life of my baby in what ways you may. That is all I ask. Ingredients for all 12 cauldrons are stocked, as we discussed, along with more for mistakes and any extras I thought a lab required. I was never quite as good at potions as you, Severus, which was quite alarmingly clear after our OWLs, but I meant every word when I promised you a fully stocked lab, no matter what ingredients are really needed for this one potion in particular. I've assigned a house elf to restock the shelves and make sure you don't die unnoticed in a potions accident before anyone can get to you. She was so sad-looking and so bored around the manor with nothing to do, and I couldn't resist. Please don't send her away. It's hard enough saying no to the cat these days. I don't think I'll recover emotionally any time before this blasted baby comes if I have to deal with a house elf who feels unwanted. I promise, no matter what you use, my husband's vaults won't notice a thing. Anyways, I think that's all for now. As lovely as it was to revisit the park, it is starting to get harder to apparate, even alone, over short distances. Maybe somewhere I can flew next time? Till the moon rises in the east, shining red like the sun. L.
L. I'll be there all week, awaiting your insights. M.
April 8th, 1980. Maxim, my heart. Have you ever told anyone about your cauldron theory? I didn't want to make a fool of myself when we met, but in hindsight, maybe I should have. I've spent the last week entirely distracted from my other research, searching for any hint at all that any other potioner has ever had the insights you do about the relationship of vessel type to potion properties, and I can only conclude that it doesn't exist. You must publish this, even if you use a pseudonym. You're so brilliant, Severus. And I'll tell you so 1,000 more times before my time comes. You're brilliant, Sev, and you should let others see that about you too. The goblins were curious enough about the 3 cauldrons that failed to authorize starting 3 more batches of modified Felix, based on your proposals. or, well, my presentation of what you said you wished to do, which they were enthusiastic about regardless. In related news, they are insisting you name an assistant. My understanding is that they don't much care about the name, age, blood or creature status, or credentials of whoever you name, only that whoever it is, they help to ensure you can continue to meet the rather exceedingly fussy schedule of so many fussy cauldrons. They're not even synced in timing, Sev. When will you ever sleep? Don't fight them, Sev. Not on that. You're an excellent teacher when you want to be. I swear you could turn any Nocturnally street urchin, squib or not, into the greatest brewer Britain has ever seen, if you decided to put your mind to it. If you do choose a street urchin, our goblin was very eager to insist on designating food and clothing budgets for up to 5 assistants under your tutelage, and it should go without saying that beds and wards for either an apartment or a dorm would be quite within our means to provide for each of them. I didn't quite follow everything he was saying about how old apprenticeship agreements worked, but I don't think you need to find their parents, get any paperwork from them, or even ask about their ages. It's just whatever the master, you, I suppose, chooses. Regarding the Renviviac process, I'll admit that my knowledge is incomplete, and I didn't understand much of what I read about it either. You know where to find the entirety of my husband's books on the matter. If you have any other search terms I should add, you only need say so. Till the moon rises in the east, shining red like the sun. L.
I have acquired an apprentice as you requested. I will expect you Thursday, unless otherwise notified.
May 23rd, 1980. Max. Oh, Maxilla, Maximus of my days. It was quite lovely to meet your apprentices, skittish little things though they were. I'm so proud of you. I'm not quite certain that them being so scared of you is for the best, but I can already hear you snarling in my ear that I'm still 2 months from being a mother, and therefore have no opinions on such matters. Not yet. To that point, I must concede defeat. For all that I know far too little about children, and still feel far too close to being one myself, certain constants remain, regardless who either you or myself may be dealing with. You catch more flies with honey, Sev. If I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times from your mum, and it was the only sane thing she ever said. A child can't hurt you, Sev. It can't curse you, or beat you, or poison you, or use anything but its words against you. Not until you teach it how to poison you good and proper, that is. And, well, by that point, it's just manners that keeps us all from killing each other in our sleep. I guess what I meant to say, Sev, is not to worry so much. I'll continue to keep your secrets, and your apprentices already adore you just for deigning to give them a steady bed to sleep in. And by the time they know enough that they could betray you, Sev, I'm so certain that they'll have developed your penchant for cursing or poisoning everyone who dares to get in your way long before they'll ever think of betraying you. Have faith. I heard your father died. I know there won't be a memorial, but I wanted to pass along my condolences. No matter how he died or when, no matter if it was related to this damned war or not, no matter how he treated you, he was your father. I'm so sorry. You know where you'll find a few copies of all the creatures, herbology, and potions textbooks that were worth anything, published in the last 20 years or so. Cauldrons and other equipment fit for students are also there, and the potter elf that gets all weepy if I don't let him see to the laundry and tailoring will be you know where on Tuesday. Don't even start. When Pippin informed me of the ingredients she couldn't find that you asked for, I'll admit I didn't expect a response so quickly. I was more than a little surprised at how peppy Zinnia was when I went to visit her apothecary. It wasn't the same without you, but I think her advice was good all the same, and somehow word spread ahead of my visit to make me feel welcome down that way in a way I haven't since our last visit together. I may not know exactly what you did, but I have a pretty good idea, and all I can say is thank you, Severus. Again and again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Your help has led me directly to several works on the theory of sacrifice, a topic I understand many Muggleborns are kept from as a matter of course. In this, I seem to be the exception recently, and I can only cling to it as a good tiding, as I see few other topics with any hope at all of deterring the untimely death of my son. My son. Yes. I didn't really think much of it until recently. But it can't be a coincidence that I'm so certain he will be a boy. Not a single Mediwitch has been certain, nor even mentioned the fact. The fact of him being a son and not a daughter is somehow fated strongly enough for me to have seen it, and that troubles me more than I can say. I don't like it. I don't like so much of my son's future being driven by a bloody prophecy. I don't like anything about this. Till the moon rises in the east, shining red like the sun. L.
TPL, 1125.
February 5th, 1981. Maxwell. Know that I will be thoroughly unamused if you gift my son a silver hammer. I finally got the record player working again after the last time my husband and his friends got to it, and I think you'd approve of the new wards I put on it. I don't care how much they want to try out whatever the teenager at the record store recommended to them. The thing is mine, and I'm the one who got it working, and I'm the one who has to keep bloody fixing it. I was quite inspired by your stories of a certain library having books that try to bite you if you aren't invited to read them. I'll send a memory of it in action, probably very soon at this rate. You're welcome. Don't think I missed that you now have all five apprentices. I spoke to them again while you were finishing up to introduce them to Harry, and it's clear they adore you. I know you never wanted to go into teaching, Sev, and especially not taking old Sluggy's job, but I think you'd be really good at it. Regardless, the goblins know to keep the lab open and supplied, even if my husband and I are dead. You had concerns about putting it fully in your name, so it's still all in the Potter name, but funded and operated directly by the goblins as another Potter business interest, rather than among the things the Potter regent will take control of. Time is getting short, and I know you hate hearing all this, but I am so proud of you, of what you've been doing. After the war is over, don't let either side pressure you into wasting your life away as some sort of misguided penance. Don't do it. You love the lab. You love what you've been doing, and you love training your apprentices. As long as you keep loving it, that's exactly what you should be doing. I think the ritual so soon after his birth had precisely the effect we predicted. I love my husband, but you know he isn't the greatest at handling things with any care or delicacy, and an infant is no different. I've already witnessed him landing on a pillow a guest was in the middle of summoning, bouncing at wildly improbable angles to land on a couch or bed, and a perfectly timed, overpowered cushioning spell cast from across the cottage, all perfectly timed to catch him, all the various times my husband has dropped him. Mostly I keep him strapped to my chest, though, in that strange wrap thing from his mother that I told you I was trying to figure out last time. Apparently, she had the same issue with her husband, but without the experimental ritual bath in liquid luck. I spoke with her a bit recently, and she was so happy that someone was getting some use out of Flea's things. She had another couple trunks she packed shortly after he died, and she says it's too painful to try to go through them, but thinks they could be of some use to a potioneer. I've sent them all along to you-know-where, so let me know what you think. She thought his scraps of notes may all be jumbled in pockets and such, so it may be kind of a mess to sort through. Sorry. I would have gone through it myself first, but she also says there's likely to be unknown potions residue in drips or splashes everywhere, and I couldn't do that with Harry on me. I'm coming around on your blood magic idea. The books you recommended were indeed a huge help. War or not, my husband and his friends still gave me such a hard time before handing them over, as though any price is too high to save my son. I really, really don't understand them sometimes. I got a letter from Petunia out of the blue recently. I slipped that in the envelope, too. I'd really like to hear what you think she's getting at. We haven't spoken in years, and we were hardly on good terms even before Mum and Dad died. I guess I'm just confused why she would be writing to me. Why, after all this time? Till the moon rises in the east, shining red like the sun. L.
Meet as soon as possible. There's something we must discuss. You know where. Hurry.
October 31st, 1981. Sev, something bad is happening, and I don't think I can stop it. I've done what I can. James won't hear a word of it, insists we're safe with his buddies, as though it isn't bloody obvious that the rat is the one holding the secret. The rat. I've changed our wills. James sign, even if he was uninterested in either the process or the contents, and Griphook was somehow able to convince King Ragnok to be our executor, possibly the only position in this bloody country with both the power and the will to stand up against the chief warlock when he's trying to railroad something through for the greater bloody good. Not my son. There's a list of guardians, Serv. A long one, since this war is still going, and who knows how things will look when it's all over. Who will still be alive? Who will still be free? You're not the first on the list, but you are on it. I thought I owed you some warning. I also wanted to make it 100% bloody clear that Petunia is not on the list, nor is her husband, nor the squib who just moved in around the corner. It doesn't take a bloody genius to see where this is going, Sev, and I'm telling you now, I won't bloody have it. If Dumbledore snatches my child from my cold dead hands and ships him off to bloody Petunia without even opening the fucking will, then you will be on her doorstep the moment you are sober and capable of apparating my baby safely. The address is on the letter she sent, just in case you need it again. I bloody mean it, Sev. I will figure out a way to haunt you from behind the grave if you leave my child to be raised by Petunia and you are capable of putting a stop to it. Griphook thinks, with how your research is going, the Potter vault will be able to sustain a Felix bath on each birthday until Harry comes of age. I hope you'll continue it for me, even after I'm gone, even if he has far too much of his father in him as he grows, even if you can't stand the sight of him. Please, Sev. I can't believe this bloody cottage Albus moved us to didn't even have the standard charms on it. On your suggestion, I added them this morning. He can do whatever he wants with this dump after we're dead. It's his, after all. But I can't fathom why he would leave the place open for looters, even if he was for some reason opposed to all the small items getting pulled to the vaults once there's no adult present to hold the wards. James didn't care about this, either. I don't think he even noticed I was messing with the wards at all. So he didn't notice that you were included. You're on the invited list, should the secret break, or should you come to know the secret. You are also on the alert list to summon help if there's trouble. I don't know precisely what it's like to be on the receiving end of a ward alert like that, but the books say it can be unpleasant, and you deserve at least a warning. I know I should end this here, but I find I'm reluctant to go. This may be my last letter to you, and there's still so much I wish to say.
November 3rd, 1981. Master Severus Snape, you are summoned to the reading of the joint will of James and Lily Potter, to be held at Gringotts Bank on November 15th, 1981, at 11 in the morning. Present this letter to a teller when you arrive, and you will be escorted to the reading room. Signed, King Ragnok the Hidden Blade, Executor of the Potter Estate, Chief of the Goblin Clans.
November 12th, 1981. Mr. Snape, this letter serves as confirmation that the Ministry of Magic has cleared you of all charges regarding suspected Death Eater activity in the war against he who must not be named. Please keep it for your records. As veritaserum and memory evidence have proven beyond reasonable doubt that you were never a part of the terrorist group known as the Death Eaters, there will be no future charges on this matter. In the case of future conflicting testimony or unrelated crimes committed during this time period, please remain in the country for a full year following your release, as further testimony may be required from you. As of this time, you have no restrictions on your use of magic or your movements, except allowances for further testimony, as stated above. Regards, Bethany Beecham, Department of Magical Law Enforcement, Office of Releases.
December 11th, 1981. Dear Severus Snape, I must admit, I was surprised to see you at the Potter's Will reading, and was surprised again at their requests. If I hadn't examined the will myself, I would still not believe that James had named you as a possible guardian for young Harry. As I'm sure you know, dear Horace has been wanting to retire for quite some time, decades by now. We have never agreed upon the identity of his replacement. Horace has wanted someone who exhibits sufficient talent at the art, who can avoid the high injury rates of his predecessors. I have been more concerned with the motivations of any likely candidates. So many have been from Slytherin House, and with Horace's retirement from the castle, his replacement will be head of Slytherin as well. In truth,
You are now the first candidate we have agreed upon since he first brought his retirement to my attention. I understand that we may have had our differences in the past, but it seems even in the midst of a war, you have started teaching on your own. I have booked a private room at the Three Broomsticks in Hogsmeade for noon this coming Thursday. I would like to treat you and young Harry to lunch while we discuss what it would take to let poor Horace retire. I sincerely hope you will be there, and I look forward to seeing how Harry is adjusting to his new home. Sincerely, Albus Dumbledore, Headmaster of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, Chief Warlock of the Wizengamot, Supreme Mugwump of the ICW, Order of Merlin, First Class.
February 2nd, 1982. Severus, it has been a while. You've been busy ingratiating yourself to the old man, it seems, sweeping up both the boy who lived as your ward and Sluggy's old job in the short months since the war ended. My congratulations on your considerable foresight. I am writing with the hopes of introducing Draco to your charge. I fear there are few children his age who run in the right circles and are of sufficient standing to be good peers for him. I know I have not spoken much of my own upbringing with you, but there are significant challenges in starting one's pre-Hogwarts years with the experience of only their parents and portraits for company. I would most sincerely wish to avoid those, if at all possible. I promise, if you come, Dobby will have a whole plate set aside of the biscuits you prefer. Let me know. Lucius.
March 14th, 1983. Master Severus Snape. Gringotts has received several requests regarding your recent publication on the blessing of a child by ritual bath to provide the requisite materials and perform the ritual described. No time limit nor cost was listed for the requests we have not so far turned down, now numbering 7. Those involved are willing to make any arrangements for travel, timing, and otherwise that are necessary. Please reply with either a time to discuss terms and compensation for future requests, your terms themselves if you have them, or a general disinclination to offer this service. Most of those writing had no idea of the time or costs involved with brewing the bathing solution, which I understand was your intent, but it is my belief that the 7 requests still outstanding are well aware of what they are asking. They do not insist that you do all the brewing yourself, and have all agreed to accept the labor of your apprentices or any other assistants selected by you, so long as the process as a whole is overseen by you. I suspect 2 may have an idea of your identity as well. While you are under no obligation to make arrangements with any of these parties, I most strongly encourage you to do so. Though you may not recognize all or even any of these names, they represent some of the most powerful witches and wizards around the world today. 1 asks for the blessings of a future heir not yet conceived, and 2 more are on behalf of children currently, directly, and unavoidably involved in local social turmoil, much as your own ward is. It goes without saying just how enormous the favors these people can offer are, rivaling what Nicholas Flamel or Wan Tse could achieve should they set their minds to it. I await your reply. Vilnok the Sharptongue, Manager of the Prince Estate.
ETL Echo. Echoing tales for everyone to love.